your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Oh, yeah.
Space time. Time to talk about outer space.
Astronomer Josh Aldeke joins us on the line. Can you hear us?
Yeah, well, I can hear you loud and clear.
Welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I am great. It's been great looking up at the skies and seeing some of the planet action that we've had last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, if you saw the planet, it was real beautiful the last week or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yep. I really enjoyed seeing that, especially after your specific instruction last week. I hope the listeners got in amongst that too.
No problem. That's what I'm here for.
We've got a big week in space. We've got a lot of Mars news. So we'll start off with NASA's Perseverance rover. I hear it's completed a pretty big road trip.
Yes. NASA's Mars rover Perseverance. Reached a bit of a human milestone, which is that it completed a marathon on Mars, which is, 42 kilometres. It's a speedometer took over, and it's officially driven 42 k's on Mars, which is pretty impressive.
That is very cool. What do you think the choice of playlist is on the on the Perseverance?
Probably something like really lonely and depressing. a very, very isolated by itself, of course. I always think of one of the older rovers, the Curiosity rover. They used to send it commands to sing "Happy Birthday" every which is just really depressing when you think about it.
Yeah, into the void,
just there, alone on this desert planet.
Makes me well up a bit, but it's still an amazing achievement that it's took over a marathon on Mars, which is so cool.
So, what was the purpose of this 42-kilometer trip?
Yeah, I mean, when they send Mars missions, they don't have specific goals in terms of distance. It's really just, what are the goals for the mission? What do we want to find? What are we going to see when we get there? So, often these rovers, they will travel, really far distances because they see something that looks interesting. The mission controllers will send it that way. Other times, a lot of the missions kind of stick to more regional stuff. But, the main goal is to explore as much as you can in the amount of time that you've got. We don't know how much time these rovers have. They have rough lifespans, but they typically outlive them. So NASA kind of, quite literally runs them into the ground until they start working.
Yeah.
This rover's been great, and it's done this, 42 kilometers in about 5 years. So it's probably the slowest marathon ever recorded. But it's on another planet. But I still think that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And then further on to Mars, it sounds like we've got a new private Mars mission, which will be studying the atmosphere, set to launch in a couple of years from now. And it sounds like it's not one of the usual suspects for these kinds of missions.
Yeah, so this is kind of a two-sided story, but NASA, they've announced a new partnership with a private company. So this is basically, NASA will build things like the instruments, the scientific stuff that they want to send, and this private company is then going to build the rockets, the actual spacecraft, and all of the infrastructure, essentially. So it's kind of one of the first kinds of that kind of private and government collaboration that we've seen in terms of planetary exploration, because, usually with Mars missions, they're incredibly expensive, so usually, big governments do those missions. And you don't really see, private ventures, at least not yet, to the scale off the planets. So it's kind of the first for NASA. But I also think it's, second part of it is it's come at a really good time because, we had about a month ago NASA announced that they just lost one of their Mars orbiters called MAVEN. Mm. They lost contact with it and they declared it over after, trying to, revive that mission. And that particular mission that died was one that studied Mars's atmosphere. So we actually lost that spacecraft. So this new mission is kind of, the replacement for that. And I hope to get it to Mars in a couple of years.
Is this one of the first private ventures to travel to Mars?
It is one of the first between a government and a private agency. We've had private companies often building very small parts, so, solar panels, for example, or radar dishes, very minor things. But usually it's contracted out from NASA, and then, they get the thing sent to them, they construct it. But in this case, it's a fully private and government mission where both are kind of happening at the same time. Mm. And NASA's kind of heavily relying on the private sector to make these things happen, as opposed to relying on, their own budgets and their own people. So, I think it'll be an interesting one because, we've seen with, rockets, for example, it's, there can be quick advancements and it can be done cheaper. But also, there can be mistakes and things can go wrong and things can explode. So, yeah, I think it'll be an interesting one to watch how this kind of plays out once they hopefully get to launch.
Yeah, it sort of, to me, it sort of looks, sort of signals a change in the way that space is funded. We're seeing a lot more of that private sector. I mean, especially with the landers that are being contracted for the Artemis, the future Artemis missions.
Yeah, and that's kind of the wider story is that, you know, as most of us know, NASA's budget is just way too small for what they want to be doing. So year after year, you know, they have to basically save money in any way that they can. And for most of it is actually contracting out to these private companies because a lot of them do have the capabilities, but they're also not as skilled in these things as NASA.
Mm.
So, you know, there is a risk, but, you know, it is more affordable. So, yeah, it's the goal of, you know, wanting to do more but with less.
Yeah. Our last one for today sounds like we've got some more moon action with a new lander scheduled to land later this year.
Yeah, so this is this is another NASA contracted mission, and this is part of their what's called the CLPS program, which is commercial lunar payloads, which they send to the moon. So NASA has asked a company, which is Astrobotic, to build their second lunar lander. Now, I say second because they actually tried this back in 2024. They built a lander, had some NASA stuff on it. They launched it. Unfortunately, it didn't even leave Earth orbit. It got stuck in Earth orbit, fell back to Earth, was destroyed. So the mission never got to the moon.
Yeah.
This is their second attempt. So they've finished the second lander. They've got the instruments. And they're basically going to start preparing it now for launch sometime this year. So this is the second attempt to hopefully get this private lander on the moon.
And what is Astrobotic looking to do with this lander, especially with you know, the future of the Artemis program coming up?
Yeah, so this kind of feeds into Artemis, right? We have all of these commercial robotic spacecraft that NASA's wanting to be sent there. It's essentially like scouting missions. So we're sending a lot of these things to the lunar, near the lunar South Pole, which is where NASA wants to send people. And one of those reasons is, you know, scope the conditions. What is the lighting like? What are the temperatures? What are the actual environmental conditions like once we get there? And also, they also want to potentially send, you know, test technology. So with a lot of these lunar missions, they send up things which are testing, you know, new fabrics for spacesuits, for example, new metals that they want to use for tools that, you know, astronauts might be using on the moon. So a lot of them is actually just sending physical materials to the moon to see how they actually manage, how they survive on the lunar surface. Because, you know, we can test these things on Earth. We can put them in vacuum chambers.
Mm.
But you can't fully recreate the, you know, the extreme conditions that we experience on the moon. So you're never really going to know what it's like until you see it. These missions are kind of helping NASA kind of inform their own decisions and, you know, their own missions. When they're sending people, what are they going to be using? Where are they going to be landing? And, you know, who's going to be doing those first missions to the moon?
Mm. Finally, anything coming up at Te Whatu Stardome that our listeners have to be aware of?
We're in our Matariki season at the moment, which is already super, super busy. We've got our Matariki Navigators, which is some music shows, which I think is very, very close to being full. Free tickets, you can see that on our website for any left. We also have a free open day in July for Matariki, and of course all of our regular Matariki programming. And we have this really cool thing which we've worked on with some people here at Stardome, which is a Matariki Meditation Day that we're going to be doing in July. So, two mornings through July, we're doing this really cool meditative experience, which is in the planetarium, you know, like under the stars.
Yeah.
Ooh. Super, super cool. All about Matariki and, you know, Whakapapa and all of that cool stuff. So, yeah, if anyone's into that, definitely get a mark because, I checked it out a few days ago and it's really, really cool.
Well, listeners, make sure that you get amongst that. Thank you so much for joining us for another week. Josh, we will see you in a couple of weeks from now.
No worries. Speak to you in a couple
thank
of weeks.
Thank you, Josh.
Talk to you there.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
You're 95 BFM.